Plain Girl versus the Demon. I hate how I look. That is the mantra we repeat over and over again. Sometimes we whisper it quietly, and other times we shout it out loud in front of a mirror. I hate how I look. I hate how my face looks, my body looks. I am too fat or too skinny or too tall or too wide, or my legs are too stupid and my face is too smiley, or my teeth are dumb and my nose is serious and my stomach is being so lame. Then we think, I am so ungrateful. I have arms and legs, and I can walk, and I have strong nail beds, and I am alive, and I am so selfish, and I have to read Man's Search for Meaning again, and call my parents, and volunteer more, and reduce my carbon footprint, and why am I such a self-obsessed, ugly asshole? No wonder I hate how I look. I hate how I am. There have been 40 million books and billions of words written on this subject, so I will assume we are all caught up. That voice that talks badly to you is a demon voice. This very patient and determined demon shows up in your bedroom one day and refuses to leave. You are 6 or 12 or 15, and you look in the mirror and hear a voice so awful and mean that it takes your breath away. It tells you that you are fat and ugly and you don't deserve love. And the scary part is the demon is your own voice. But it doesn't sound like you. It sounds like a strangled and seductive version of you. Think Darth Vader mixed with a sexy Kathleen Turner. The good news is there are ways to make it stop talking. The bad news is it never goes away. If you're lucky, you can live a life where the demon is generally forgotten, relegated to a back shelf in a closet next to your old field hockey equipment. You may even have days or years when you think the demon is gone, but it is not. It is sitting very quietly, waiting for you. This motherfucker is patient. It says,
take your time.
It says,
go fall in love and exercise and surround yourself with people who make you feel beautiful.
It says,
don't worry. I'll wait.
And then one day you go through a breakup or you can't lose your baby weight or you look at your reflection in a soup spoon and that slimy bugger is back. It moves its sour mouth up to your ear and reminds you that you are fat and ugly and don't deserve love. This demon is some Stephen King from the sewer devil level shit. I had a lucky childhood. My demon didn't live in my room. My demon just walked around my neighborhood. I grew up with a naturally pretty but very earthy mother who never told me to put on makeup or change my outfit. I didn't have the kind of mother who flirted with my friends or wore tight jeans. In middle school, I was small and flat-chested, which is also a lucky break. You can kind of slip around unnoticed that way, which is exactly what you want. I was made fun of for being short, but it was mostly by boys who were shorter than me. I rarely brushed my hair, and I was skinny. I bordered on being a tomboy, but not enough to be labeled one. It was a wonderful but short-lived time, when I was in my body, but not critical of it. If you ever want to see heaven, watch a bunch of young girls play. They're all sweat and skin knees, energy and open faces. My demon would receive my school picture and maybe gently suggest I
do something about those eyebrows.
But for the most part, it left me alone. I felt safe in the middle, a girl who had a perfectly fine face, but not one that drew any attention. Then I started caring about boys, and the demon pulled into my driveway. The 80s were a strange time for teenage fashion. We wore silk blouses and shoulder pads, neon earrings, and jodhpur pants. I mean, come to think of it, our pants were especially weird. We also wore stirrup pants, parachute pants, and velvet knickers. It was a real experimental pant time. We curled our hair, and we sprayed it until it was crunchy and high. We wore jewel tones and too much makeup. With the exception of a few naturally beautiful girls who knew how to balance all of these elements, we look ridiculous. Dating in middle school often meant walking around the mall together and spending hours on your phone picking your song. There was some light handholding and maybe a kiss on the cheek, but it was really all very innocent. I dated one boy, and our song was Faithfully by Journey. Every time it played, my body would turn electric, and I would stare out whatever window I was near and reminisce about experiences I hadn't had. Is there a word for when you're young and pretending to have lived and loved a thousand lives? Is there a German word for that? It seems like there should be. Let's say it's Schaufenfrugelsploit. Dating in high school was very different. Boys suddenly went up your shirt. Girls were expected to give blowjobs and be sexy. You had to be hot, but not a slut. You had to be into sex, but never have it, except when your boyfriend wanted it. If you had sex, you had to keep it a secret, but also be very good at it, except not too good, because this better be your first time. Darling Nikki masturbated to a magazine, but Madonna was supposedly still a virgin. It was very confusing. Once high school started, I began to see the real difference between the plain and the pretty. Boys who were going through their own battles started to point out things about me I hadn't yet noticed. One told me I looked like a frog. Some told me I smiled like a Muppet. A senior told me to stop looking at him with my big, weird eyes. I looked in the mirror at my flat chest and my freckles, and I heard a sound. It was the demon, suitcase in hand. He moved in and demanded the top bunk. Now, as I continue, please know a few things. I usually find any discussion about my own looks to be incredibly boring. I can only imagine what a yawn fest it is for you. But I cannot, in good faith, pretend I have fallen in love with how I look. The demon still visits me often. I wish I could tell you that being on television or having a nice picture in a magazine suddenly washes all of those thoughts away, but it really doesn't. I wish I were taller or had leaner hands and a less crazy smile. I don't like my legs, especially. I used to have a terrific flat stomach, but now it's kind of blown out after two giant babies use it as a short-term apartment. My nose is great. My tits are better than ever. I like my giant eyes, but they can get crazy. My ass is pretty sweet. My hair is too thin for my liking. My Irish and English heritage and my early sun exposure guarantee that I am on the fast track to Wrinkle City. Bored yet? Because I can't stop. I went through high school and college and the years after, dating all different types of people. I think if you line them up in a row, there would not be one single physical characteristic that they all shared. Most were white, not all. Some were short and hairy. Some were weird. Some pretty, sweet, athletic. I would say that maybe most of the men I had dated had a small current of anger fueling them. But that's the case for most funny people. I dated a lot of really funny people, and some medium funny. The best-looking ones were medium funny at best. It's tough to be both. In Chicago, I dated a male model for a hot minute. It was the first time I had dated someone that handsome, but the truth was he was in my improv class and not that funny, so I felt weirdly superior. I made the mistake of snooping and reading the model's journal. We finished having medium to boring sex, and I rifled through his things while he took a shower. I'm pretty good at snooping around. It started in my own house, where I would go through every drawer and every pocket in my parents' room. Luckily, I didn't find much at home, except for some well-worn copies of Playboy that seem positively charming compared to the up-close butt-fisting that pops up on my computer these days when I'm trying to order salad tongs from Target. I honed my snooping skills when I babysat. It was then that I saw my first diaphragm, laxatives, and stacks of cash in an underwear drawer. I've basically ransacked every house I've been allowed into. My snooping tendencies have now abated somewhat, but I still have to fight the urge to immediately go through people's shit. I am not proud of this, and I realize that by admitting this, I am limiting future opportunities to be a house guest. Anyway, the bad part about snooping is you can find stuff you don't want to find. Snooping in emails, texts, or journals is a disaster. No one says good things about people in diaries. You tell people the good things. Diaries are for the bad things. I found an entry from Model Man that basically said he was kind of proud of himself for dating someone like me. He thought I was funny, but not that pretty, which was kind of like cool, you know? He, like, wasn't into me, but, like, was totally down for the journey. Like, cool man. And I remember thinking, ha ha, I know that already, dummy. We just had boring sex and I win because I tricked you with my personality. I don't even like you. And then I went home and I cried. I took way too long to break up with him. But I was eventually okay. And you will be okay too. And here's why. I had already made a decision early on that I would be a plain girl with tons of personality, and accepting it made everything a lot easier. If you're lucky, there's a moment in your life where you have some say as to what your currency is going to be. I decided early on it was not going to be my looks. I've spent a lifetime coming to terms with this idea, and I would say I'm about 15 to 20% there, which I think is great progress. Look, I'm not underestimating the access I get as a blonde white lady from America. Believe me, blonde hair can take you really far, especially with the older men. It can really distract from the face. I am convinced I could have had sex with both Tony Bennett and John McCain if we weren't each happily married at the time we all met. Decide what your currency is early. Let go of what you will never have. People who do this are happier and sexier. Being considered beautiful can be tough. I know this because I work in Hollywood, which is filled with the most conventionally beautiful people in the world. Beautiful people can get objectified and underestimated. They didn't do anything to earn their genes, so they have to struggle to prove that they are more than their hot bods. People assume they're happy and good in bed, and most times this is not true. Plus, beautiful people get a little addicted to being told they are beautiful, and they have real trouble when they get older, get less attention, or have their spouse cheat on them with someone considered plain. Improvisation and sketch comedy helped me find my currency. My plain face was a perfect canvas to be other people. There's nothing I like more than picking out wardrobe for a character. An SNL hairstylist once told me I had a great face for wigs. A great face for wigs. What a compliment! And also the title of my second book. Looking silly can be very powerful. People who are committing and taking risks become the king and queen of my prom. People are their most beautiful when they're laughing, crying, dancing, playing, telling the truth, and being chased in a fun way. Improvisation and sketch comedy let me choose who I wanted to be. I didn't audition to play the sexy girl. I just played her. I got to cast myself. I cast myself as sexy girls, old men, rock stars, millionaire perverts, and rodeo clowns. I played werewolves and Italian prostitutes and bitchy cheerleaders. I was never too this or not enough that. Every week on SNL, I had the opportunity to write whatever I wanted, and then I was allowed to read it, and people had to listen. And once in a blue moon, it got on TV, and maybe five times it was something really good. Writing gave me an incredible amount of power, and my currency became what I wrote and said and did. If you write a scene for yourself, you can say in the stage directions, "The most beautiful woman in the world enters the bar and all the men and women turn their heads." And then you can write a scene where you say, "Sergio, the most gorgeous man we have ever seen, starts to kiss her." And if you're lucky enough to be directing the scene, you can have casting sessions and bring in various attractive men and see if they're good at kissing you. You will arrive on set and the call sheet at the start of the day can read, "Jasmine has sex with Sergio in a rowboat." And then you go have fake sex with someone and still not cheat on anybody. Men do this all the time. Acting isn't all bad. Hopefully, as you get older, you start to learn how to live with your demon. It's hard at first. Some people give their demon so much room that there's no space in their head or bed for love. They feed their demon, and it gets really strong, and then it makes them stay in abusive relationships or starve their beautiful bodies. But sometimes you get a little older, and you get a little bored of the demon. Through good therapy and friends and self-love, you can practice treating the demon like a hacky, annoying cousin. Maybe a day even comes when you're getting dressed for a fancy event and it whispers,
"You aren't pretty."
And you go, "I know, I know. Now let me find my earrings." Sometimes you say, "Demon, I promise you, I will let you remind me of my ugliness, but right now I'm having hot sex, so I'll check in later." Other times, I take a more direct approach. When the demon starts to slither my way and say bad shit about me, I turn around and say, "Hey, cool it. Amy is my friend. Don't talk about her like that." Sticking up for ourselves in the same way we would one of our friends is a hard but satisfying thing to do. Sometimes it works. Even demons gotta sleep. Like who likes you? Let's take a break and sip a little tea, shall we? Oh, now it's time for Patrick Stewart to read something.
But of course.
Sir?
Hello, Amy. It is truly my pleasure. Plastic Surgery Haiku. If you plump your lips, the words that come out of them sound ridiculous. We know it's Botox and not your vegan diet. Nice try, Margaret. A facelift does not make daughters comfortable when you chaperone. Fine, get your boobs done, but only make them smaller. Fake boobs are weird, y'all. Asymmetrical looks cool, while cheek implants are less interesting. Plastic surgery requires a good amount of lying to friends. Can I be honest? You look like a lady from the Broadway show Cats.
I have no idea if you're angry or sad since you got fillers.
Hey, shooting poison in your face does not keep you from turning 50.